I'm sorry. Do you hear me now?
Yes, now we hear you.
Okay, thank you. So I would like to begin by reiterating, reviewing one point which came up last night, and it's a very important point for a lot of the discussions that we're having, and that is that with regards to a liquid, once it is fully cooked and then cools off, so there's a machlokas in the Rishonim whether or not it is usser to reheat it. Do we say that once it was fully cooked, then there's no problem of reheating it, even if it's cold now, because once it's cooked, always cooked. And the fact that it got cold doesn't take away the cooking, just like a solid thing. By a solid object, that's for sure the case. You cook a piece of chicken and now it's cold, there's still no problem of reheating it because it can't be, there's no bishul achar bishul by something solid. That's why I said last night you could put a piece of boiled chicken into a burning hot pot of soup as long as the soup is off the fire. The question is by liquids. Do we say the same thing that once it's cooked, then there's no problem with reheating it after it cooled off? Or are liquids different because if they lose their heat, so then one could argue then they lost their cooking. What's the cooking of water that you heated it up? Now that it's cold again, maybe it's considered no longer cooked, and it would be usur to reheat it. So in Shulchan Aruch, both the Mechaber and the Ramah, meaning every one of the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that we l'chumra, we are machmir on this, we are stringent, that we do say that once a liquid lost its heat, it is usur to reheat it. However, there's a excuse me, a very big difference between the way the Mechaber has the halach and the way the Ramah, which translate into a difference between the way the Sfardim have to conduct themselves and the way Ashkenazim conduct themselves. And that is, according to the Mechaber, which is the way the Sfardim would generally conduct themselves, once that liquid cooled down to the point that it's no longer Yad Soledes Bo, even if it's still hot, you would still consider it worth drinking as a hot or warm drink, but it's not Yad Soledes Bo anymore. At that point already, it is subject to a prohibition of recooking, and you're not allowed to heat it back up to the point of Yad Soledes Bo. And not only that, but even if it's still very hot, it's even Yad Soledes Bo. Once you poured it out of the kli rishon, you poured it out of the kli that was cooked in into a second kli, which we called last night a kli sheni. Then, according to the halacha for the Sfardim, you can no longer reheat it, make it any hotter, or no longer pour it back into a kli rishon. Once it went into a kli sheni, it is now subject again to the laws of bishul, to the prohibition of bishul. So, for example, let's say you're taking some soup from the hot pot is off the fire, and you're taking some soup into your bowl, and you say, you know what? I took a little bit too much. I'm not going to drink all this. So you want to pour some of the soup from your bowl back into the hot pot of soup. You can't do that. According to the Sfardim, the halacha of the Sfardim, they could not pour that soup back into the hot pot of soup because once it went into a kli sheni, it can't be returned to a hot kli rishon. Whereas the halacha, according to the Ramah, which is the way the Ashkenazim follow, as it's true if it's completely cold. If the hot liquid, cooked liquid, became completely cold, then it's once again subject to the laws, the prohibition of bishul, and you're not allowed to reheat it to Yad Soledes Bo. But as long as it's still hot, it's even if it's less than Yad Soledes Bo, and certainly even if it's a kli sheni, as long as it's still hot enough that it's worth serving, you would drink it as a hot drink or a hot bowl of soup, which could be less than Yad Soledes Bo, but it still has enough heat, enough warmth that it would be considered a hot drink, then you're allowed to reheat it. You're allowed to make it hotter, even back to Yad Soledes Bo. Okay, and that's how the Ashkenazim follow. Okay, so now with that background, let's talk about we said last night that we were talking about what you could or could not put into a kli rishon and kli sheni. So we said you definitely can't put, or you I should say definitely, you cannot put instant coffee or instant tea into a kli rishon. If you had the you had a pot of water that you cooked up and you want to use it for coffee or tea, and you figure instead of everybody making their own cup of tea or cup of coffee, let me put some coffee powder, instant coffee powder or instant tea powder straight into that urn, or into that, not an urn that's plugged in, even something that's not plugged in, even something that's a pot that you, a kettle, an old style kettle that you heated the water on the fire and you took it off the fire, you cannot add coffee or instant coffee or instant tea into that kettle, which is the Kli Rishon. Okay, not only that, but even if you put the instant coffee or tea into a cup, into a dry cup, you would not be allowed to take that kettle and pour from the Kli Rishon onto the tea or the coffee. Or for that matter, you would not be able to pour from an electric urn into a cup which already has in it tea powder or coffee powder, because that's what's called Irui Kli Rishon, pouring out of a Kli Rishon. Pouring out of a Kli Rishon also causes a degree of Bishul, so you're not allowed to do that with the coffee or tea. Now, are you allowed to rather make a Kli Sheni first, pour the water into an empty cup, clean empty cup, and now add a spoonful of instant coffee powder or tea powder into that Kli Sheni? Could you do that? So the answer is technically you can. The Ikar Halacha is you can, but it's recommended that you don't even do that. La Halacha, what's recommended is that you make it into a Kli Shlishi, meaning pour them from the hot urn or the hot kettle into one cup, and which is now the Kli Sheni, and take that cup and pour it into a second cup, which is called the Kli Shlishi, and then add the tea or coffee powder, instant tea or coffee powder, into that cup. That is what's recommended to do. One of the reasons why we recommend that, rather than allowing you to simply put it into the Kli Sheni, excuse me, is that because the poskim say that there's a level of heat which is beyond Yad Soledispo. Till now we've been talking about Yad Soledispo is considered the level of heat that effectuates cooking. And but Yad Soledispo, once it's in a Kli Sheni, is not a problem for many things. Some things yes, for many things not. But there's a higher level of heat, which is called Yad Nichvesbo. Yad Nichvesbo means that it would mamish scald you, meaning your hand wouldn't just withdraw. You wouldn't just pull back your hand if you touched it, but rather it would burn you. Yad, it's burning hot. Now, and water, which is Yad Nichvesbo, according to a number of poskim, doesn't have any of the leniencies of Kli Sheni, don't apply. As long as the water is so hot, it's Yad Nichvesbo, then it doesn't have the leniencies of a Kli Sheni. And now in the time of the poskim, when they were talking about this halacha, it was unusual because it was hard for them to keep water so hot over Shabbos. They didn't have electric cooking devices like we have, and they didn't have even a stovetop with a uniform flame that could keep it very hot. They were, they could make things, you know, hot enough to be worth drinking. Once you pour it over into another Kli, you're already talking about something which is borderline warm. Nowadays, it's not that way. You keep water in an electric urn or however you do it, chances are that water is burning hot. Yad Nichvesbo. And even if you pour it into a Kli Sheni, you pour it into your coffee mug or styrofoam cup, it's most likely still Yad Nichvesbo. It's probably still scalding hot unless you, of course, let it sit for a while. But at that point, when you first poured it over, it's most likely, or certainly very often, Yad Nichvesbo. And when it's Yad Nichvesbo, it is advised not to treat the Kli Sheni as a Kli Sheni, but to look at it more as if it's a Kli Rishon. And therefore, the thing to do is to pour it into another cup, a Kli Shlishi. Once it's a Kli Shlishi, at that point, we say, we don't care. Even if it's Yad Nichvesbo, it doesn't make a difference. At that point, you can add the coffee powder or the tea powder, instant coffee powder, instant tea powder. And that's what's recommended to do, as I said. And then if you want to add, let's say it's too hot. It's too hot still. And you want to add some water, you could add water from the tap. As we mentioned yesterday, you could add milk, because even if, I mentioned yesterday, even if we'll say that only water could go into a Kli Sheni or a scalding hot Kli Shlishi and not other liquids, but once the other liquids were cooked already, even if they cooled off, they can. So milk has been pasteurized, so it's no problem. So you can add milk into your cup of coffee or tea. You can add any other cooked liquid, like if you have lemon juice, which has been cooked to pasteurize, you can. If you want to take a fresh lemon, you should not put a fresh lemon into this cup of coffee or tea. And certainly you should not squeeze it. And here we go to a different area of halacha. You're not allowed to squeeze fruits on Shabbos. including lemon. Except if you squeeze a lemon directly into solid food, into fish or into some other a salad, where at least the majority of what you're squeezing out goes directly into the food. It's either absorbed by the food, it gets mixed into the food, that's okay, but not into a liquid. You may not squeeze a lemon or any other fruit directly into a liquid. So you can't squeeze a lemon, besides the laws of Bishul, you can't squeeze a lemon into a cup of hot coffee or tea, or even a cup of cold, even if you have a cup of cold cola. You can't squeeze a lemon into your cola. You could put a lemon slice into your cola, and some of it will flavor the cola, but you can't squeeze it into the cola. And when it comes to tea or coffee, you can't, not only can't you squeeze it, but you can't even put the slice in, because a raw fruit not been cooked at all is subject, of course, to the laws of Bishul, and you should not put it even into the kli shlishi. I'll just end off for now by saying that certainly one, well, okay, it's let me take a step back. I'll leave that for tomorrow, what I was about to say. Okay, so I think we'll leave it here for now. It's past the 10-minute mark. And Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow I want to continue with some of the practical ways of making tea and coffee. Besides, let's say you don't have instant tea, you want to use real tea. What would be the proper halachic way to make a cup of tea on Shabbos? Thank you very much. Have a good evening.